sponsors of Ramsey Solutions. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they actually love, and create real, amazing relationships. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author of the book Own Your Past, Change Your Future, and host of the Dr. John Deloney Show, is my co-host today. We'll be taking your calls at 888-825-5225. Well, John, I don't get to say this very often at home, and occasionally I get to say it here. I was right. We are in a recession. But barely. It's such a wimpy little recession, it doesn't even count.
It looks to me like a rounding error.
It really is ridiculous. I mean, so a recession, if you don't know, we've been laughing about this last couple of days because the White House, you know, anytime somebody doesn't like a term these days, they just redefine it. So we made fun of you redefining anxiety.
Yes, exactly.
And Biden, White House, came out and tried to redefine what a recession is. And you can't. It's Econ 101. They teach you in your first week in class in college. I mean, come on. A recession is two consecutive quarters of the gross domestic product, which is the adding up of all the goods and services produced in the United States, shrinking. It's a little bit less, two quarters in a row. It receded, like my hairline.
Yes.
Okay, that's what a recession is. It receded. However, this one didn't recede nearly as far as my hairline.
I was going to say.
This recession is such a joke that it's not even a real recession. It's not even a good one. I mean, as it went down like 1.5% first quarter. Last quarter, we got the numbers out just a few hours ago, it went down 0.9%. That's like a rounding error.
This is like getting a ticket for going 71 in a 70. It's like, come on, man. I was speeding.
70 and a half.
That's right. I was speeding, but come on, man.
70.9 in a 70. Oh, this is ridiculous. So now the Democrats are all going to run around in circles acting like it's no big deal, because it's really no big deal. The Republicans are all going to scream at the top of their lungs, "We're dying! It's in a recession! Biden has crashed the economy! Oh my God!" And neither one is true, by the way. We are in a recession, and the economy is not good. But this is not like a hurricane recession. This is a light mist.
It's not like the last one we experienced.
It's not even a real rainstorm
in Q2 when it plummeted.
Oh, in 2020?
Right.
Yeah, we shut down the world and the economy completely shrunk by like 25 or 30%. It shrunk.
Yes.
During quarantine, right? Because everybody's sitting at home eating donuts, right? Donuts went up, plexiglass went up, but everything else went down, right? And so then they came out of their caves and bought everything in sight, and the economy exploded by 35% the next quarter. So that was a bizarre thing in 2020. But what we are is we are experiencing a slower economy. It's not growing. It's not a time of prosperity for sure. But it is not Chicken Little. You don't have to get your helmet out. It's just 0.9. I was telling Rachel the other day, it could have been up like 0.2. I mean, the numbers we were getting, there's a lot of precursor reports that come out that you can read. And so I was seeing the indicators. I knew it was going to be basically flat.
Yeah.
But it could have been up 0.25. It could have been up 0.25%, and then we wouldn't technically been in a recession, which would be like, 0.35% difference in where we are, right?
And it would have been reversed. The right would have been saying, but I mean, it's really a recession. And the left would have been saying, see, look at how wonderful we bailed it out,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And neither one is true, okay? It's not the end of the world. Don't let the right tell you that, because they're trying to win the midterms based on the recession. They need to win it based on something else, because there's not much of a recession.
The left is trying to pretend
a wimpy little misty.
Math isn't real again.
Tiny recession.
Okay, yeah. So in all reality.
But it does suck, because we're not booming.
Okay, so yeah, I'm saying,
I mean, the economy is not on fire.
In all reality,
it's hurting.
I'm just a guy with two little kids, and stuff's expensive.
Inflation.
What do I do?
That's inflation.
Right?
This means nothing.
Helpful. Like, for, you know, just the regular guy.
Other than the economy is not, it's kind of, you know, it's going for a walk. It's not going for a run.
Hmm. Gotcha.
You know, and it's a slow walk. But it's not had a heart attack in an ICU either, okay?
There you go.
I mean, right. Just stretch this metaphor all we can. But
you said something important. For the average guy like me,
this number means nothing.
Means nothing.
Other than the idea the economy's slow.
So turn the news off.
The economy's slow.
Yes.
Okay. But it's not a deep, dark. Man, I'm 62 years old. I've seen some deep, dark recessions. They're not fun.
Right.
That's a whole bunch of layoffs. A bunch of businesses aren't doing business, so they don't need people. They're not buying stuff because they're not doing business. So their goods that they produce, they're not producing them because they're not doing business. And so it slows down. It's not good. It's ugly. Recessions are ugly. But this one's a joke.
Yeah.
This one's just moderately unpleasant. But the this one could get a date. I mean, it's not really ugly, right? So,
hey, yes, this is a recession like me and you, and we both ended up getting married. This is good. This is good. I could get a date.
But I do get to tell Rachel Cruz I was right.
Hey,
this is worth something. Because she was dogging me on the air the other day because I said it might be up a quarter of a percent. She said, wait a minute, America. He just said he might be wrong. It's like, yeah, Rachel, calm down. Yeah, I could have been wrong, but I actually wasn't. So I'm really kind of basking in this a little bit because I did call it a while back. I thought we were going into a recession, and we did. But
you said a long time ago, it's such a joke. It's going to be a minor one.
I could have missed it as easy as I hit it, truthfully, because it's basically flatline. It's just right down the middle. So that's the thing. So you're going to hear this all over the news, and you're going to hear the Fed increase the interest rates again yesterday to slow inflation, which is stupid on steroids. They're screwing around with the economy. They need to leave it alone, let it heal itself. It's going to be all right, but they're going to mess this thing up. And when you start messing with supply-demand stuff and you start messing and tinkering with, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah, well, he can't complete a sentence. It's not a good thing.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Let's take this metaphor because that's my bigger concern. You have a couple and their marriage, it's fine. Things are fine. And you're going for a walk and you've got the one person who's saying, hey, we should probably talk. Last night, I just felt... And the other person saying, I was in a bad mood. And we're going to dig into this. And, well, what if we just, we're going to try to start, well, let's start doing this together. Let's do this. And we need to go do this. We should probably go sign up for this. And let's read this book together. And the other person saying, hey, I was just tired. There comes a point when the intervention becomes worse than anything that was actually going on. Is there a moment here?
Yeah.
So that's a long, long drawn out analogy to say.
I got lost in your analogy.
Yeah,
okay, now I caught up. I got it. Okay.
Is.
In other words, you know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill.
Can we tinker with this and the tinker's going to crash the car?
Well, it's not going to crash it, but it could make it worse instead of making it better. It's just...
First rule is do no harm, right? And so...
Exactly.
Take your hands off. If you don't know what's going on, take your hands off for a second.
The beautiful thing about capitalism is it has a real tendency to heal itself if you leave it alone.
Okay.
Like crooks, they don't make it because people quit doing business with them. Why? Because they're crooks.
They're crooks, yeah.
Or eventually.
If your product breaks on you, you quit buying it.
If you make a crappy car, eventually people call it a Pinto. that's eventually the marketplace will punish you for being stupid and it will cleanse itself. And it does that with cycles as well. But God almighty, we have to mess with it. This is the Ramsey Show.
Your number one wealth-building tool is your income. For business owners, this comes as no surprise, as you're used to putting in extra hours and watching your bottom line. That's why Christian Healthcare Ministries, or CHM, is a great option for those who are faith-focused and budget-conscious. CHM is not health insurance. Rather, it's a health cost-sharing program. To learn if CHM is a fit for you or your business, visit chministries.org/budget.
Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Ramsey trusted provider.
Dr. John Deloney, number one best-selling author, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. Ramsey Personality is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. How many times have you found yourself saying, one day... When thinking about a goal that you have, one day I'll be able to buy a house. One day I'll be happy with my career. One day I won't have to battle with anxiety. One day I will set some boundaries. Stop waiting around. Whatever your one day is, you need to start right now. And that's why we created the Smart Conference. Smart Conference is a one-day event where we will tackle all the areas of your life. And guys, let's face it, we could all use that kind of boost right now. You'll hear from the nation's top thought leaders on money, career, mental health, relationships, marriage, and leadership. The event is hitting the road and will be coming to Dallas, Texas on Saturday, October 22nd. It is already 60% sold out. Event passes are selling fast. The VIP and Platinum are gone, and you can get general admission still for $39. So Dr. John Deloney will be speaking, Rachel Cruz, Ken Coleman, all number one best-selling authors, George Camel, Christina Ellis, best-selling author. I'll be there. I'm sold a couple books too, and I had a couple ideas in my life, not to mention our friends and leadership experts from Life Church. Life Church is Craig and Amy Groeschel. They're going to be speaking on marriage. And let me tell you guys, there's big surprises all day. This is a day-long event. You will leave inspired and smarter. It's Smart Conference, October 22nd. So jump online at RamseySolutions.com/events. Get your event passes right now. John is with us to start off this hour in Cincinnati. Hey, John, how are you?
Good. How are you, Dave?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
So I'm going to give you a quick background before I ask my question. So I'm 28. I have all my debt paid off except for my house, and my house is about to be paid off here in about 5 weeks.
Great.
I've been working a ton of overtime. I've been doing it, going gazelle intense for about 3 years now, working average 70 hours a week, had a baby with my wife, and so my question really is about what kind of advice you could give a young person like me that's in my position, because I'm kind of lost and I don't really have a path, and I'm starting to be burned out. So just looking for some advice.
Sounds like you got a path. Sounds like you got several. Sounds like you're a new father and you're a husband and you're working to pay off some debt. And you're working a professional job. Are none of these paths, are you not feeling a certain way? Sounds like you got some pretty important, pretty cool
paths. What path is missing?
I don't know. I just felt like I worked so hard, and now that I'm about to cross this finish line with paying off my house too at such a young age, I just feel like I'm really burned out, and I can't light the fire back in me and get me going again.
Okay, number one, you don't need to light a fire back in you. You're fine.
Yeah.
Number two, we don't tell folks to do what you've done. Once you reach to baby step four, we don't say gazelle intense anymore. We move from intense to intentional, and work to systematically, more of a marathon than a sprint. Be putting money in your retirement. Be putting money in your kids' college, and systematically paying off your house. But 70 hours a week to stay gazelle intense to pay off your house is not what we tell folks to do. It's okay that you did it. You didn't do anything wrong. But no wonder you're burnt out, in other words. You fried your brain, man. You put it on egg and put it on the skillet on the dadgum stove. So, you know, let's just say, hey, let's work 40 hours a week, systematically save for retirement, save for my kids' college, increase my generosity. And
go on a vacation.
Yeah, go on a vacation. Put your feet up. Rock the baby. Oh my gosh! I mean, what's wrong with that number? What are we missing here? You need a new goal. Is that what you're saying?
No, yeah, sort of a new goal. I just feel like after I've done this, I'm just kind of settling, and I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to do.
No, you're not settling.
No. So you've seen the marathon pictures where the runner comes across the finish line and collapses at the marathon?
Yes.
You see the finish line, and you're about to cross it, and your body is failing you, as it should after you run an Olympic marathon, and you're thinking, what workout can I get in tonight? Because I don't want to waste this evening. And what every coach and trainer on the planet would say, you need to take a couple weeks off. Take some time.
I see.
Rejuvenate. Relax. Your next goal and mission and purpose and thing, it'll come to you, man. That's just who you are. You're a driven guy. You're going to go make it happen. You're not settling. You are leaning into rest. You're leaning into peace. There's a reason why you did all this. It's so you can put your feet up and go, whew, so you can give like crazy. You're there now, and you're going to have to practice what that feels like, because you've never experienced that. It's all new feeling.
What we're saying is there is as much dignity in running a marathon as there is a sprint. And right now you think the only thing that is worthy is sprint. So if I'm not sprinting, I'm settling.
I see.
And you're playing a much different, longer game.
Yeah. Play the, now you're playing long ball, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different game. Right. And I'll tell you, the key to all Olympic workouts is not the workout program, it's the rest program. It's teaching these Olympic-driven athletes to put their feet up, to rest, to take get some peace, so that when they get back into the game, they are full in.
Hey, I'm going to throw a book at you, all right? There's an old book a buddy of mine named Bob Buford wrote called Halftime. And the premise of the book, Halftime by Bob Buford, the premise of the book is that men in particular spend the first half of our lives in acquisition mode. The second half in search of significance. Now, this is in the case of a guy with a life well lived, okay? But what happens sometimes to men, and you're not a candidate for this, but what you've observed with maybe friends that are a little bit older than you or I have when I was in my 20s or late 20s, early 30s, is a guy will kind of be winning the, quote, success game, and it's not fulfilling because acquisition doesn't fulfill. There's only so much of that you can, you know, eat enough lobster, it tastes like soap. And so there's only so much gathering of stuff that is fulfilling. After that, you need significance. And so where you're going to find great joy and depth and soul refreshment is in working for significance rather than acquisition. Because what you've done so far is an excellent job on the acquisition stuff. I mean, crap, man, you knocked out your house. You're 28 years old. You killed it. But now you got to have something that's a little deeper, a little more philosophical, a little more spiritual. And the guys that don't do that, and again, I'm not accusing you of this, but just for the rest of your edification, what happens to guys is they just keep going and going and going and going, think acquisition, 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 and then they get all this stuff and all these accolades, and it's still not enough. And so that's when they have what we call a midlife crisis.
They go get other wives and other homes.
Yeah,
other
they
towns,
go out, you know, the red convertible and the blonde secretary, and here we go, you know, and so, or whatever the stereotype is of a midlife crisis, right? So, no disrespect to you blonde secretaries, but that's what happens is if you don't intentionally change that gear at that apex, you will fill it up with the wrong stuff.
Here's a fun adventure you and your wife can go on. Go take a half day retreat in the next week or two and ask her this question: who do we want to become now that we've done all of this?
Another half day serve soup at the homeless shelter.
There you go. And let's get up three or four books that we want to read together over the next few months as we start thinking about who are we going to become. And also, let's make service a regular part of our marriage, of our giving back to our community. That'd be incredible.
Yeah. And yeah, it is the best part of life, and it's the best part of money.
Yeah.
Actually, is the live like no one else, so later you can live and give like no one else. You got to do that second part, the live and give part, you know, enjoying things and continuing to embrace things and do things and so forth. And, you know, I was with a group of guys last night. One of the guys said, hey, I want to ask you guys some questions. Can we gather up? And I just, yeah, I'm always in for that. That's fun. And real philosophical thing, kind of thing on the back porch, right? But it was this whole idea that, you know, what are we going to do now that matters? Well, you know, and man, it's just, you got to live a life with that kind of intensity, that kind of intentionality. That's a different thing. That's where you are, man. You're in a really good place. And your question is not weird.
No.
It's actually a very, very good question and a very good place that you're in, that you find yourself in. But be intentional about the next steps. I just saw a study that really made me sad. It showed that families owning life insurance in the U.S. was at its lowest point since the 1970s. After what we've been through the past few years, I'm just lost on how people don't make this more of a priority. How are you going to make sure your family needs are met if something happens to you? This is why getting term life is an absolute necessity. Rates have never been cheaper, and the whole process to apply is pretty simple, with many companies not even requiring an exam anymore. This is why I send you to Zander Insurance, and I have for almost 25 years. They'll make sure you get the right protection at the lowest cost possible, and they're there for you and your family every day. I challenge all of you to make sure your families are protected. It needs to be a top priority. Call Xander at 800-356-4282 or visit Xander.com. That's 800-356-4282 or Xander.com. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Nicole is in Orlando. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
So I'm new to the Dave Ramsey. I just heard about you guys about a week ago. I've been living under a rock. But I looked through the baby steps, and I'm kind of coming up with an issue right now. So my family, I was living in Los Angeles, California. I sold my home, and with the profits, I was able to purchase a home outright in, we live in Kissimmee, Florida, where I have I took a position that now has doubled my income.
Fabulous.
And so
life is rough. You have a paid-for house and a doubled income. See ya, California.
Yes. So we are really, needless to say, we feel incredibly blessed.
Yeah.
But the problem I'm having right now is, with the home, we still have about $100,000 left over. We have about $150,000 between cash in the bank, and we also invested in gold. But my problem is my new employer, we don't have a 401k, and I don't qualify now for a Roth. So I'm kind of getting a little nervous as far as what to invest in, what's the best way to grow my money. I'm 30 years old right now. And
so let me get this straight. You're 100% debt free. You don't owe on your house. You doubled your income.
Yes, sir.
I don't think there's anything to be nervous about except where we're going to throw the party. I mean, you are really doing it. This is great. Good for you. So, not to make light of you or anything, but
Dave, I might be wrong, but should she buy a bunch more gold?
I did buy some more, but
no.
Not a lot.
No, he's being facetious. Don't listen to him.
Moron. Don't buy gold.
Don't listen to him. We tell people not to buy gold.
No.
So here's the thing. You are what we call baby step 7. Okay. All the baby steps lead you out of debt, while building an emergency fund, while starting your retirement, while starting your kids' college. Do you have kids that you need to save for college for?
Yes, I have one daughter. She's 13, and we have about $20,000, which was kind of our, my husband and I agreed that was kind of our max as far as what we wanted to contribute. Put a little skin in the game, but she also has to have some skin in the game.
Yeah, like $150,000. Okay. A lot of skin your daughter's going to be putting in there. But anyway, I'm probably doing a little more than that if I'm going to argue with you guys on that. Even if you're not going to pay for 100%, that $20,000 ain't going to touch it.
Nope.
So you need to go price a college.
That's a semester.
It's going to blow your mind. But anyway, so here's the thing. You're at what we call baby step 7, which that step is build wealth and give. So I want you to make sure you're doing all you can for retirement, all you can for the kids' college. A good way to do that is to sit down with a good financial advisor. You can do what's called a backdoor Roth IRA, and you can put $8,000 a year, $6,000 a year, $7,000 a year, wherever you are in the process there, into that each. Is your husband working outside the home?
No, he's actually a paraplegic, so I'm the sole income provider for
then,
our family.
But you can do a spousal IRA and a regular IRA, and they can be Roth IRAs, and you can backdoor them. Okay, what a backdoor is, it's called a backdoor Roth. What you do is you open an after-tax traditional IRA and instantaneously roll it to a Roth. Okay?
Gotcha.
I have a income that far exceeds the limits, and I do those every year.
Okay.
So it's perfectly legal. It is a loophole, but it's perfectly legal and moral to do that. And you put it in good growth stock mutual funds like your kids' college should be in. So we're not in the investment business around Ramsey, but we have a group of investment advisors that we have vetted all over America, many different brands, meaning they work for different companies, but they all share a couple of traits. One, they have the heart of a teacher, which you want to learn about this stuff. And two, that they are going to give you advice that's consistent with what you hear around here. We call them smart vestors, and you're the smart vestor. They're the smart vestor pro. So you click on that at RamseySolutions.com. It'll give you a list of three or four in your area. You can interview all of them and decide which one you like, which one you feel good about. And you can do your Roth, backdoor Roths there. You can soup up your kids' college fund a little bit in your 529. Let's get that thing moving a little bit better than it is. And you can do some other type of investing beyond that, which you're going to be able to do with your wonderful income because you don't have any bills. Way to go. And they're going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, which is don't invest in gold. It's a bad investment. It's had a bad rate of return over the last 70 years. It's averaged about 1.2%.
Gotcha. Okay?
Now, it's had some big years that the gold bugs like to talk about, but it's had a lot of down years, and it is basically it's a commodity, and commodities are not things I invest in. So you can do whatever you want, but that's what I would do. I have some gold cufflinks, and that's it. that's what I would do. The last thing you can do is what's called if you want to write this down, is you got backdoor you got to write down for Roth. The other one is a low turnover mutual fund. And so I do a lot of those now, too. And what that is they don't sell the stocks inside the mutual fund much. So a low turnover ratio would be like a 4% turnover ratio, meaning only 4% of them are sold in a year. So there's hardly any of the gains are activated for taxes. So it works kind of like if you buy a single stock. Let's say you bought a stock of Home Depot for $50. I don't even know what Home Depot goes for, but let's say you bought it for $50. If it goes up from $50 to $70, you don't pay any taxes on that $20 gain until you sell it.
Gotcha.
And because they're not selling the stocks inside the mutual fund, there's low turnover, it's growing like that stock was growing, and you don't pay taxes on it until you sell it because they're not selling it. Now, if the mutual fund turns over all the time, it's activating. Even though you didn't sell the mutual fund, it's still activating the gains, and you have to pay tax on it every year. So this is capital gains growth, and it's a good way to do that. Another excellent way to get at that is just a no-load S&P 500 fund will put you in that same thing. Almost all of those are low turnover ratio. So just check for the turnover ratio or talk to your SmartVestor Pro about that. I do some through my SmartVestor Pro, and I just occasionally just dump some into an index fund. And what I'm typically doing there, Nicole, you do whatever you want, but I'm a real estate goob, so I'll just use that fund, build it up till I got enough money to buy a piece of real estate in it. And then I'll cash that in and go buy some real estate. And it's if I keep it longer than a year, it's taxed at capital gains rate instead of ordinary income rate, which is half, 15% for you, 20% for me, versus.
But just on the growth.
Only on the growth.
Yeah.
So, but it's an excellent vehicle for because you get a better tax deal if you hold it a year, and you don't pay taxes if you just keep holding it. It just keeps growing.
So I remember back in the early to mid 80s, Dave. My dad took me down when I started my little lawn business, and he took me down to open up a savings account. And my interest rate was 11, 12, 13%. We're coming out of this that bad inflation. I remember it. And I remember circling back in college.
That's so cute.
And getting a savings account, and it was one. And I remember thinking the bank was ripping me off, and I didn't understand about economics. Can we expect with inflation and with the Fed rates that we can go down to, normally we'd put money in an index fund, we put it in a money market account. Can we expect to go down to our banks and just get these elevated rates that we haven't experienced the last decade?
Well, Fed was running, went as high as 18, the Fed rate did in 1982 and under Jimmy Carter, and it was out of control.
Yeah.
And so the Fed, that's an example of government tinkering with the economy that they shouldn't have been. So they ran the Fed rate up. I mean, and what the Fed funds rate is what one bank borrows from another.
Right.
So it's their cost of money. So if they pay more to borrow money from another bank to loan to you, then they're going to charge you more. Right. So interest drives interest rates up to the consumer. So the Fed funds rate's a big deal. But no, you'd have to say I think interest rates in general, the interest rate environment is going to go through the roof again. And I got to tell you, man, it got Carter booted out of office for sure. That and the Iran hostage crisis cost him the presidency. And he was a sitting president one term.
Yeah.
And that's unusual.
Yep.
And it cost him that for sure. It was political suicide to do that. So, no, I mean, 6% Fed rate, or, you know, I mean, a 6% mortgage market is not a, it's not a high mortgage market.
No.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not anywhere near that kind of numbers. So, no, you're not going to see a savings account that's going to pay much more than 1 or 2% in your coming years. This is The Ramsey Show. Small business owners and CFOs, listen up. You've got to stop letting old school financial software hold your business back. Business leaders who get it know NetSuite by Oracle is the way to go. NetSuite is the number one cloud ERP software system out there, and it gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, budgeting, and planning. So get everything you need to grow all in one place. Go to netsuite.com/Ramsey today. That's netsuite.com/Ramsey. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. Sylvester is in New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, Sylvester. How are you?
How you doing, Mr. Ramsey? How you doing, Mr. Deloney?
Better than we deserve, sir. How can we help?
How you doing today, sir? I'm calling on behalf of me and my wife. We just have a question. We would like to know, should we sell our home right now due to inflation because it's up to pay off our debt and move into an apartment for 2 years and just try to save for another house?
It's my last choice if you can't do it any other way. So how much do you owe on your home?
Right now we owe about $114,000.
What's it worth?
Right now, about $205,000.
And how much debt have you got, not counting the house?
The debt is $70,000. $40,000 is student loans, which is my wife, and she has another $15,000 in personal, and I have $10,000 personal. So we're around $70,000.
No car debt?
No car debt. We own our car, but we actually need another car because we have two children.
Yeah. So what's your car worth?
The insurance won't consider it a total loss, so they'll give us probably $6,000 for it. They won't fix anything on it, so we'll get $6,000 of each.
The one that's the one that totaled. What's the other one worth?
No, we don't have one. We need an additional car.
Oh, so you have one that you're out of cars right now.
Yeah, we just have one car, but we need another one. If we sell, we'll be probably able to get another car.
I got you. But, okay, so what is what's your household income?
Honestly, I make over six figures with three incomes. So my wife brings in maybe, right now she's about to start a new job, which is around 60. So she averages maybe 60, 80,000 a year. Right now she's trying to find.
So you have a household income of like $200,000.
At least 180.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So,
at least.
No, you don't need to sell your house. How long, and your wife's not been working until recently?
Yeah, she just stopped. She's been, you know, job searching, looking for the right job that, you know.
How long has she been out of work?
Maybe the past 2 months. You know, she just needed me time dealing with the children and just, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not picking on her. I'm just trying to find out where this math is going. So basically, you've had over the last 2 or 3 years a household income of 100 to 180,000, somewhere in there.
I would say I just got my highest paying job this year. So you could say before that was W-2s. We was making 135 together because we owe every year in taxes.
Yeah.
And now we're at 180.
Yeah. Well, New Haven, Connecticut, $200,000 for a house is not a fancy house.
No, it's a condo. So that's why she would like to sell, take the gain, be debt free, move into an apartment with our children for 2 years, and hopefully buy another home. You know, we're just asking for recommendations because we spoke to other financial advisors, and he's like, use your line of equity. Yeah. You know, it's up to you.
So don't use that financial advisor. He's an idiot.
Yeah, fire that person.
So here's what you need to do. I'm going to pick. Can I pick on you? Is that okay?
Absolutely, sir.
Okay. You make too much money to be this broke. Y'all are disorganized, out of control. Okay. And overspending. You make a lot of money, especially if we get jack it all the way up to $180,000. $180,000, you'll be able to pay off $70,000 in about 9 or 10 months. Right. But, you know, granted, you've not made $180,000 through this whole story while you got into this mess, but the way you knock this out is not selling the house. Selling the house is, the debt is not the problem, it's the symptom.
That's right.
And you're treating the symptom when you sell your house. I'd rather you treat the problem, which is you guys get on a tight budget, no eating out, no vacations, no life, and you pay all of this off in 9 or 10 months. I mean, how would it be, feel to be 10 months from now have no debt but your house?
That'd be great. That's the ultimate plan.
Yeah,
that's
and then guess plan. What you could do?
Figure it out.
Yeah, then that condo goes up in value for the next couple of years while you're saving some more money to add with that condo, and you can move into a little better house, which is really what your wife's trying to pull off here without dealing with the fact that you guys are overspending like you're in Congress. But you got to deal with that, or, dude, you're going to be broke your whole life. You can't out-earn stupidity. I tried it for a long time.
And you can't outlive disorganization. And I've tried that for a long time.
There's a lot of stress in this story, isn't there, Sylvester?
Yeah, my wife is extremely stressed. That's why the job search.
Hold on. Hey, you're stressed, too.
When honestly, I'm fine. I'm fine. Honestly, it's my wife I care about, and I love her. I just
want
to...
Fall on your sword if you want, but, dude, the numbers you're giving me are stressful.
If you're working three jobs, you think you kind of know what you're making, what you're not. That's hard, right? And you're strong. You go to work. You work hard. There's some ego there, but it's okay to say, man, I want to live a more peaceful life too.
Yeah, if you had no payments and all your money was doing exactly what it was told, you'd be breathing deeper.
And one more step. You mentioned your wife's got some debt and you got some debt. If you were so in sync with her that this was y'all's debt, and this will be y'all working together on getting out of this thing, and then your marriage, you're going to look up in a year after grinding this thing out, and y'all will have accomplished a big, hard thing together, and then your marriage is going to be in a place that you don't remember it being.
So here's the deal. You're a good guy. I can tell by talking to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
You're a solid guy. I think you guys are almost ready to do the smart stuff. If you are really ready, I'll give you Financial Peace University, the 9-week class for you to go through. You and your wife go through it together. Find a local church and plug into it, or get on with an online group and go through it with your online group, and then watch the videos and do the budgets and do the stuff we teach you. And in 9 weeks, I can show you how this debt should be gone in 9 months, and both of you be on the same page. We can show you how to do it. We've shown 10 million people how to do it. If I give that to you for free, can you get her to go along with you and the two of you do these lessons together?
Well, she's on the phone now, if you don't mind clicking in.
Okay. What's her name?
Her name is Shay.
Does she know about all this discussion we've just been having?
Yes.
Sherry.
Shay.
Yes.
Hey, I'm going to give you guys Financial Peace University if you'll promise to actually go through it together. Will you break that promise?
Yes.
If you guys will do this, we can show you how to get out of debt in 9 or 10 months, 12 months max. And you keep the condo, let the condo go up in value, and then you can move over and jump into the better house later on. That's about a 3-year plan or so. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Okay. You guys make too much money to be this freaking broke. You agree with that?
Absolutely.
All right. You hang on. Austin will pick up, and we'll help you guys get through this. You're the kind of people we like to help. Hey, she's on the phone. This is bad. This is good news right here, John.
I know. And I love, man, I'm smiling ear to ear. I love talking to husbands who have run up against, like, I've tried to flex my way through this, and I need to go ask somebody for another plan, because my plan of just go is not working. And I'm looking around. I got a stressed wife. I got stressed kids. I got debt. Maybe we can come up with a scheme to get out of this, and then I'm going to go to somebody and say, hey, I need some wisdom. And you say, I got a path for you.
That's called a good man.
It's called wisdom. That's a good man.
He's a good man.
Golly, it's good.
And she's a good lady. She jumped right in there. I mean, we didn't have to drag her kicking and screaming. So this is the kind of folk that turn these things. They'll be on the stage doing a debt-free scream in a year.
Yep.
And in 5 years, they'll be telling me they're Baby Steps millionaires.
Oh, for sure.
They're on their way. Because they make $180,000. Let me just tell you, man, New Haven, Connecticut, not a cheap place to live.
Nope.
So that's a big market there. So it's a nice market, but yeah, wow, very, very cool.
And I love to hear those three. I'm working three jobs and I'm making it happen. I love it.
Yeah, it's just so interesting that 98% of winning at this stuff is just deciding to do it.
Yeah.
You know, deciding, I'm not going to live like this anymore.
So I was hiking the other day. My wife and I were on our anniversary trip. I was hiking up a hill, and I think mental health, I think financial health, physical health, I think if we distill it all down, it comes into to three words. Do it anyway. Just do it anyway. It's hard. I need a plan. Just go do it.
Do it anyway.
Go do it anyway.
Do it anyway.
I don't want to have a conversation with my wife. Go do it anyway.
That old Art Williams talk. Just do it.
Just
do it.
Do it.
Just
get on the
do
right plane.
It.
Love it.
I love it. This is good stuff, man. Good stuff. Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks to Austin, Ben, Zach, Andrew, James, and Will in the booth. This is the Ramsey Show. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.